Feral Audio.
It was June and the Sound of Music was in the air, which we followed to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for some reminiscent rock and roll. So settle in for yet another journey into the psyche of two infinite children. We're so glad you're here to partake. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Adventures of Danny and Mike, the podcast. Hey, if they can sit through it, we can record it.
Welcome to episode 18 of The Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my right, Mr. Danny, or Daniel, Tamborelli, if you're nasty.
Yeah, hey.
To his right, Mr. Michael C. Marona.
This is our 18th episode that makes us adults. This makes
That's
us,
true.
Not in cat episodes.
And I'm producer Jeremy. Forgot that part. Do you want to smoke? Should we smoke this episode since it's our 18th?
No.
Because
oh, yeah.
A lot of states. That's,
yeah, yeah,
that's
no. We're going to look at porn. We're going to...
You can
well, I mean,
legally.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
legally,
right.
We can
vote.
Buy lottery tickets.
Could you guys think about the important things like vote and join the army and frag your fellow soldiers?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather smoke.
See, that's the thing. That's why nothing gets
that's
done.
Why America
this,
is
that's why nothing gets
pot.
Done in this country, because... People from Ohio come to New York and want to smoke instead of do things. It's like most
Agreed.
Of the real estate problem of New York right there.
Yeah. Well, what are
Except
you going to do?
Except they're real out-of-towners. They're like out-of-country towners.
What?
So New York City's being bought up by Europeans.
Don't,
yeah.
Don't
and
forget,
Asians.
Don't forget the Asians and the Eurasians and the Mesoamericans.
And the Russians.
What? Which Russians?
A,
you
well,
know,
you're,
the
you're
Russians.
Speaking specifically the New Jersey Nets. Oh, I'm sorry,
oh,
the Brooklyn
yeah.
Nets.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. True.
Again, bullshit.
Brooklyn.
Because you're outnumbered because there's Knicks fans outnumbering the Nets.
Yeah, because yeah, there's two Ukrainians in this room and only one Russian.
So
I have to say, I really like Ukrainian borscht better than most other borschts. That's my favorite borscht.
Interesting. I don't know if I know
yeah,
the difference.
Yeah,
between...
I wouldn't be able to.
Have you had red borscht? Have you had white borscht?
I've no. had white borscht.
I mean,
is that not Ukrainian?
You got to come to.
I thought red was the standard. No,
come to Greenpoint. Come see what we have.
I don't like hanging out with you outside trip. Of the podcast. Mike.
Come with
That's
us
not
and
true.
Play.
That's not
mean.
True.
Come with us and play.
So, guys, what a fun adventure we went on.
Oh,
way back when we went to Philadelphia, filthiest city on the East Coast, to rock out.
Yeah, it was a rock and roll sort of day.
It was, you know, that's right. We went to Philly, we watched a concert, and we loved life right there on the Bay of the Water.
Didn't we pay $12 for a beer? Oh, that was you. You bought me a beer for
$12. Oh, yeah, no, I bought the tickets and
yeah,
the beer.
We didn't
Nobody
even pay for the
gave
tickets.
Me any money.
That's a good point.
Nobody's given me a single
Thanks, Mike,
penny.
For bringing that up. Appreciate it.
Now you know what it feels like to be friends with you.
That shoe is on the other foot.
Oh, fits pretty well. That's 9.5 Air Force One.
We saw the Replacements,
yep.
And we saw Superchunk.
And don't forget Soul Jack Handy number one.
And 60 Chaz.
J. Roddy
in the business.
That's correct.
That's true.
I thought it was very weird that he was touring with an Oi ska band from...
yeah, it wasn't that. It was something different. But it was all good. The whole thing was good. Except there were guys walking around in sandals at a rock show.
Oh, yeah, there was a real...
It was really unfortunate.
Yeah. To be fair, for the listener, this rock show took place on top of, like, playground tile on the beach.
That's true.
It was, like, interlocking plastic tiles for beer and spittle to drain
through. The other thing I thought was weird, that it wasn't, like, looking at the beach. Like, your
back
was to the beach.
That would be distracting. Yeah, anyway, not be. No matter what...
It's better for the band.
You could be tripping on acid and getting banged in the head at the same time. You're still in Philadelphia. You know what I mean? You still got to wake up and
but
drag
you
yourself.
But you are overlooking beautiful downtown Camden, New Jersey, from the other side.
Which most Philadelphians desperately wish they could live in.
Well, they just like to go there to get... nitrous oxide.
What?
Yeah, nitrous. Big thing in Philly and Camden.
God.
Get balloons.
I was
going to
say,
them.
I, I'm so old.
That's like that? That's where you went about as that a kid? Stuff.
I'm so old. I only use plastic crackers. That's Sorry. How old I am.
I went to a lot of fish shows in Camden, so oh, I'm well so versed.
That explains your slurred speech.
My slurred speech? Yeah. I don't have slurred speech.
What do you call it then?
I just mumble a little bit.
You're like a Dick Tracy villain.
Big boy did. Huh? Big boy did.
Yeah. Well, what else? We drank very expensive beer.
We went to shitty vegan pizza.
Well, we don't know if it was shitty. We just saw that it was vegan and said, let's get the fuck out of here because we're not vegan.
I would like to apologize to all shitty vegans and say we just went to vegan pizza.
Yeah. In theory, it's supposed to be an amazing pizza
And then
place.
Left again.
And I just didn't see that it was vegan.
Yeah, in theory, having sex with Sting for 8 hours would release all kinds of tantric orgasms. In practice, I'm not doing it. There's all kinds of shit in theory that sounds fucking awesome that we're not going to do, Jeremy.
You might, though.
Me, no.
Mostly socialism.
What?
Yeah, in theory, it sounds pretty good. Pretty good idea.
Moving on. Pizza.
It doesn't sound that good.
A little bit for everybody, yeah, but not a lot for everyone.
You know what happened? What happened later that day when we did find the actual pizza place? We crowned a pizza king. You guys forget that?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm ashamed that I couldn't eat as much pizza as Mike.
Heavy
it
lies
makes
the
me
crown.
Feel
heavy lies the crown.
Makes me feel like less of a fat man that I can't eat as much pizza as
Mike was forcing me.
Rail thin.
And I declined.
I don't know that I was
like
forcing you.
You were being very persuasive. You were basically were forcing me to eat.
I do remember engaging the waiter a lot about pizza.
And he wasn't really into
it. He didn't really care.
Yeah.
And
I'm pretty sure he cared because every time he left, he was like smiling, and then he went over to his coworkers, and he was laughing and pointing at us. So if that's not caring,
oh, was he really?
Yeah, if that's not caring, I don't know what that is.
My back was turned to him. For the record, Jeremy said that he didn't want a full pizza, and so we got one extra pizza pie, thinking that we could all eat it.
For the listener, I was hungry, and I did more than my fair share, and Jeremy did not do
his
fair share.
Yeah, but not by that much. I ate 5 slices, you ate 7.
Okay.
We each got a pizza.
Go on.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike, only one. Mike, but only Mike one of us the, didn't eat his fair share.
Mike won the prize. Danny came in second, and I completely came in third, and I'm fine with that. I will sleep fine tonight knowing that I came in third because I didn't walk around Philly and watch a concert stuffed to the gills, feeling like I was going
to
puke.
So stuffed, in fact, that
Mike
that? Had to leave the concert.
I didn't have
and
to
back off.
I didn't have to leave the concert.
Porta potty visit.
I had a jerk. Stand right in front of me and insert his neck into my eye line. It was not even a... Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, I'm going to drag my girlfriend up, use her as a plow, and then stand right in front of a guy who has not moved in a long time and was obviously here before me, Mr. Bucks County, got here, Mandels.
Bucks County Mandels.
We got there so early, too, that we saw the first band, and then we moved up because we're all Super Chunk fans, I think,
yeah.
And saw that.
And there was a family right in front
there
of us.
There was. There was a very young gal and her dad and her sister or something, and they were into it. But anyway, my point is, by the time the Replacements started playing, it was like two different places. It was jammed to the gills with peeps.
With Philadelphia Chads. It was so weird.
All in all, I thought Supertrunk should have played longer, but that's just my thing. You know, because I like Superchunk better than the Replacements.
I
say it?
I don't know. I love Superchunk, but I had never seen the Replacements because I was too young when they were playing for real and playing crappy shows mixed in with a couple really good shows. And then they got back together 2 years ago to do some stuff, and I missed those shows.
Good job, guys.
And I refused to miss them a final time because Paul Westerberg has been wearing T-shirts with letters on them that spell out a sentence that has to do with, I don't know, something like, I love the fans and I love doing this, but this pains me. So I'm pretty sure that they're not going to be sticking around.
That's a lot of A's in that sentence.
I know.
That's
not
what
sure exactly what, no, it's a whole thing.
Really?
He's wearing letters on a shirt that spell out words that make a sentence. That's
well, typically words
to the fans.
Yeah.
And it's like, how long has this been going?
Since they got back together and started doing stuff.
So the sentence is not complete yet.
No, but it's almost complete. Mm. It's just what
some
I read.
Revelation.
It's just something
Maybe
I read,
some
and it made me feel sad because
how does he do punctuation and spacing?
He's not. He's like.
Does he just do a black t-shirt that day?
Maybe. Maybe he does. Maybe he's doing black t-shirts for May too, like we did.
Yeah. The ship has sailed on that one.
Yeah, I know.
We're,
it's over.
We're now in June. Mm.
June gloom. That's what happens in Los Angeles.
Pretty sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's applicable.
I think you're just talking about a time when all TV shows are off for a minute, so a lot of people are unemployed and nervous.
Sucks. Sucks.
We didn't even hit a Wawa on our trip to Philly this time.
And that's why I'm still alive.
No, if you would have eaten Wawa and all that pizza, you probably would have exploded.
You wish.
Imagine if we started with DeFonti's and then went to pizza and then went to Wawa.
You know, the crown of the Pizza King. The crown of the Pizza King is kind of like Thor's hammer. If you're not worthy, you're not going to be able to lift it. So don't even try. Yeah. So you don't get embarrassed.
I think I could compete, but I'm just smart enough to not stuff myself that full. Yeah. I just don't like. That's one of these things, these adult things I've learned.
So what's really competing then?
Well, I'm saying I could. I'm just saying.
Oh, no. You could totally jump over that canyon. Yeah. I believe you.
On the motorbike.
No. You can fully jump those 12 buses for sure. I know you could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've tried to learn from my mistakes with that. When Jounce is on the road, sometimes we'll have ourselves a little food competition. Like,
oh, you mean like when you're, driving and then throw an entire sandwich out the window when you're littering in Ohio, you scum?
No.
You know you did it.
No.
These are my people's lanes.
That had to happen, and I'm sure that paper was biodegradable.
Think about it. Your littering drives more Ohio scum to New York City where they can sit and smoke.
No, I don't agree with that.
I don't.
But yeah, we would stop in for breakfast and stuff on the way to another city or wherever we're going, and we would eat the lumberjack breakfast and see who could eat it the fastest.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's never fun, and I'm always the one driving, and I'm sitting there.
I don't remember you eating breakfast a lot, just because you wake up at noon usually.
No. Well, depending on how far we have to go.
There you go.
We got a far drive. We got to wake up earlier than noon.
Mm.
I prefer noon.
I'll believe this when I see it.
Do you guys have a catering truck on Pete and Pete?
What do you think?
I mean, I didn't know if it was like a low budge thing, and maybe it was just a table, or they just brought like egg sandwiches, but you had like a legit truck. You could walk up and order a sandwich.
Give us a number. Give us a choice. Give us a choice.
I gave you two.
No, there were a lot of oars. There were a lot of oars in there.
Not two. Breakfast truck or not a breakfast truck?
The answer was yes.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, I just
clear things
in my
up
head.
For you.
I wondered, with
the TV show?
You know. Breakfast, maybe you guys were sharing egg sandwiches.
Maybe you could answer.
No, I like breakfast burritos on the truck.
Maybe you could answer some questions that would easily be answered by watching episodes of the show. Just an idea.
That was not one of them, though. That's not one that would be.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell if there were.
You just left the catering truck in the background of all the scenes.
That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, we had a friggin' blast in Philly.
Yeah, second time to Philly. Still great. Still don't like your sports teams, but the city's fun.
First time with Steve Kandel at a rock show in Philly.
Yeah. Our guest that's coming up, Steve Kandel, one of our good buddies.
Yeah.
We ran into him at the show. I did. Because you guys were already deep into the crowd right before Superchunk set, and then the replacement set came, and there was nowhere to move. And I got through three quarters of that set. You left halfway through.
Are we talking about Superchunk?
Oh, no, I'm talking about a replacement set.
No, I left before the set started.
Oh, so you missed all of it. I was up there with my buddy Mark from college, who came to the show with us as well.
I remember college, Mark. We ate with him afterwards at Northern Liberties.
Yes, we did. We definitely did that. But some guy went down right in front of me because he was too hot and bothered. I wonder if it was the same guy that was breathing down your neck.
My God, Mr. Neck, if you hear this, I've called you out multiple times, and I want you to answer for this, Mr. Neck. You fucked it up for a guy who had never seen the replacements before. Yes, I've seen Superchunk. No, I didn't bring my girlfriend with me. You messed it up, okay, buddy? And I'm not paying Dan Tamborelli for the tickets because you messed it up, Mr. Neck, okay?
Okay,
I want you to know that this is on your
own. I'm mad about it. Okay, well, I'm mad about him, and then it's all on him then.
Oh, now you realize.
Screw you, Mr. Neck.
Now you realize he messed it up.
Screw you, Mr. Neck.
Screw you, Necky.
But I had to leave too after like three quarters of the way through. It was too much, and I tried to go like get some water, and there was nowhere to go. It was just people, 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 and then there was the back bar and water, and then all of a sudden, without seeing Mike for the entire replacement,
I just
set,
rolled up.
We just rolled up, found each other, started singing on Satisfied together,
arm in arm.
It was a beautiful thing. I think I even have some.
Oh, maybe we'll get
audio
some. Maybe we'll get an audio clip
maybe
of that.
I'll put on here
on the site for the people.
Oh, you mean the website, the Danny and Mike, Danny with the N spelled out, Mike.com.
Wow, good job, guys.
Well, right now our abacus is down, so we've moved it to hosting on a computer for temporarily.
Just don't, yeah, hopefully.
Geocities.com/Danny and Mike.
It's actually angelfire.com.
Angelfire used to be my jam.
Funky lover.
Angelfire, I had a bunch of Angelfire sites. I had one Angelfire site called The Hookup. Now, let me explain.
Pre-Tinder?
I don't even remember what it was, to be honest. But no, it was some music thing. Like, you could get hooked up with music. I don't know what it was. It was horrible.
It's like an early version of Oink.
Take the Wayback Machine and have to see if that still exists. But I'm sure they don't cache, like, weird angel fire sites or GeoCities for that matter.
Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. The internet's full of that.
Speaking of the internet,
it was somebody's job to
guest,
do that.
Steve Kandel works for the internet now.
Yeah, and you guys know him as a coworker, you could say.
He's
yeah.
under the internet yeah. right now working on its gears. He's
trying to figure out the next 18 greatest cat pictures that look like their human counterparts.
Well, stick around, listeners, for Steve Kandel, and you'll hear a little more.
So we've started, haven't we?
Yeah.
Do all of these always start with someone saying...
Are we going yet? We like to do that.
Yeah, it actually does. That does happen a lot.
A lot.
We have a show on the Travel Channel called Ambush Podcast.
Where you just
Let's
sort of
pitch that.
You're just sitting with someone for a while and like, wait, am I on a podcast? Actually, it's funny you should ask.
Your questions have been extremely leading. I'm wondering what this is.
I'm curious about this microphone in front of
me. Are you
my
building
face.
Towards something? And why do you keep leaning your lapel at me?
What is Earwolf? Yeah. Why do you keep talking about Earwolf?
Oh, no, we're feral.
We're on feral.
Now we have to start over.
Luckily, we weren't recorded.
The shortest podcast ever.
Was going great until he mentioned the other podcast network.
And here goes the trap door opens.
Did you have the trap door?
We would never.
Yeah, those are pricey in the basement, dude. You have to, like, excavate. It's like those London billionaires. They can't build up, so they build, like, six basements.
It's like a panic room.
Just keep building it's down. Actually,
with Jodie Foster?
It's like a panic room, but strictly for people that you don't want to survive.
Oh, so a kill room.
So less of a panic room, but more of a kill room.
Killing floor.
I'm panicking that I have to spend any more time with your room.
I'm panicking. You're dead.
There was a rumor going around that we keep all of our guests in our closet over there, but that's not.
No,
I mean,
no, we keep samples. We keep pee samples from each of them, right?
Oh, there's pee samples?
Isn't there a jar?
We started with stool samples, shelf. But got messy.
Jeremy's catheter.
Oh, let's not do that. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank
Never
you.
Mind the noise coming, the motorcycle revving from outside your window. It's not
going to
hurt
any of us.
That
was just me on my hog.
Somebody's
Sorry,
stealing
I was told
it.
To...
He sure knows how to make an entrance.
I was told to be authentic.
I was specifically told to bring my hog. So I did. And that was me revving it.
We said you're a copy of Wild Hogs. You must have misunderstood.
Sorry.
It's a classic.
Actually, that was what the whole podcast was about.
I'm very busy. I don't have time to read entire emails. So
the first three lines.
I hear what I want to hear.
Just catches the 17 different ways to read an email.
Just hit reply, Stan. Mm-hmm.
That's a BuzzFeed joke.
Oh yeah!
I get it.
No shortage of those. Can you guess why we called you here today, Steve?
You need money?
No, this is an intervention.
Damn it!
I don't have any money.
This is an intervention.
Good. What are you trying to stop me from doing?
Didn't you used to have a Yankee hat? Do I remember you wearing a Yankee hat, you know, 20 years
ago?
Yeah, you did, right?
I have a different Yankee hat now, probably, but yeah, I've owned one. I didn't know I didn't need to wear it. I should have.
No. I'm sense remembering you, for sure.
Oh, yeah, you're the guy with the hat. Yeah, I remember you. You had a thing, and you ate stuff.
I sent Dan a screenshot of a text I got last night. He's like, who's this from? I was like, you know, this guy, Jeff. He's like, Jeff.
Jeff, the guy with the thing.
He goes, I don't know who he is. I don't have him in my phone.
I know who he is. I just don't have him in my phone.
Mm-hmm. So you must really care about this guy named Jeff.
I was calling him for work. Mm-hmm. To offer him work, not to ask for work.
Oh. Look at that.
It warms my heart to see you guys together. Is it too early to be genuine? No.
You can be as genuine as you like.
No, get real.
The first 5 minutes was not genuine.
We'll work our way up to it.
There's always bubble bursting that happens.
This all pleases me.
You know, I get to see you once every blue moon, mm-hmm. but I don't know when the last time Mike has had a chance to really lay his eyes upon you.
It hasn't been on purpose in a long time. Mm. I don't know.
I think it's because he still has all those records that you gave him that you won't give back to him.
No, that was actually you. That was you. Me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it was like one or two. I mean, to be fair, they were CDs. So who really cares?
But you two have been building on this. I want to know what they are.
We talked about it once, maybe.
I want to know what records they were.
Sebado.
No. This is all going to get really embarrassing really quickly.
It's okay.
It was like Letters to Cleo. It was like some Nirvana rarities.
No Alternative.
No, close. You might have a Nirvana CD of mine.
I will check. I don't throw anything away. I'm a platinum class hoarder, so I probably still have it.
He is a platinum class hoarder.
Yeah, man.
You should see his room.
I've achieved platinum status. They're like 200.
Are you hitting on me?
No, they're like 250,000 hordes. Star, 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 star.
Why don't we? Here's my question: how do you guys?
When are we starting?
For the listener, how do you guys know each other?
Well, that's a great.
Tell me why you love each other. Let's get super deep with the
Why don't you tell us why we love you, Steve?
I used to work on a television show called The Adventures of Pete and Pete, which is weirdly that's how. These guys were on that too.
We also met on that TV show.
Yeah. Has that ever come up? If you guys have already talked about the show on our podcast, it's never come up.
It's never come up.
I don't want to bring it up then.
No, we try to do this all on our own without the help of nostalgia.
Yeah. You can Google it. Just Google Pete twice and I think it all pretty much comes up.
Yeah, just hit the button twice. Yeah, it saves time.
Yeah, and I worked on it in a...
transitional time in your life?
In a service capacity. And also Danny is from my town.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We grew up in the same town.
Well, I didn't know you.
Wow.
Yeah. We went to the same school, 17 years apart.
Yeah. We both had our signatures written on some stupid piece of paper that got framed and hung in the middle school of Eisenhower.
As famous alumni?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So it's me and Danny and Tara Reid and the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Wait. Can I reshuffle the order?
Sorry, we're going in alphabetical order.
It's Dan and Tara Reid tied for first place. Steve Kandel third. And then the Jonas. Like, Jonas is like 4, 5, 6, 8. How many Jonases are there?
There's the bonus Jonas.
Ooh.
Frankie Jonas.
Frankie Jonas. So he's right in there. I hope we're counting.
Like when Keenan was the very funny Hemsworth brother on SNL. Doing that Australian accent.
Oh, yeah. Chris Hemsworth.
Someone just walked into the apartment.
Don't worry. He's from Boston.
Yeah, okay. Don't worry about
that. Cool. Yeah.
That's just the guy.
Yeah. Roll with it.
Don't worry about the guy.
Guy on the couch.
Guy beneath the stairs.
When a show is flagging, you often introduce a new character to sort of strike up interest.
Wow. So we're already at like Cousin Oliver stage. And
Steve,
10 minutes in.
Tell us about your sex tape.
Well, it's not mine, but I do have one.
It's ours.
Yeah.
So Steve is from Jersey.
So I'm from Jersey, and I worked on The Adventures of Pete and Pete as I was like an AD of sort. Yeah, and I was like very technical. I don't want to get into all the specifics of it, but I drove Danny to work and shit.
Yeah.
Badass.
You did drive me to work.
But I also, it was the third season that I worked on it, but it's weird that it always sort of comes up because I actually, so among the things that I did during that season, I would drive Iggy Pop to work because he lived around the corner from me. And I had to take care of Adam West for a week. And I had to take care of Patty Hearst for a week. And all of those things were all like super weird. Like it just comes up all the time. And it was just like what an odd thing to do.
How have you not written a memoir about this time?
Yeah. The Adventures of Pete and Pete and Steve.
I think I would just go straight for Steve.
It's out to publisher.
Steve's Pete.
Steve's Pete.
But yeah, no, that was like a fun little thing you guys had. And it's good that we're all over it.
We have a chain of
most importantly, it's in the past and you know, never really comes up.
We have a chain of sub shops now. We talk about it's called Brothers Subs. I mean, we talk about all the time how we don't look like each other and how our recipes are from our mom.
Actually, we did
who had a plate in her head.
Which mom?
We did an adventure in Philly this month, and there was it was called For Pete's Sake. That's what it was called.
We went to Little Pete.
That was we'll have a picture of it
Little
on
Pete's
the
Diner.
Website.
No, that was different. That was a whole different one, not the one we just did.
That wasn't in Philadelphia.
No,
you're getting confused.
But remember, the adventure that we're talking about today, Michael, is going to see the band Supercharged.
Going to see the band
Replacements.
That's a delightful segue.
We're going to see the band Vegan Pizza.
I'm really good at this now.
We went to see a really shitty band before the show called Vegan Pizza, and they sucked, and we left right away from that show. And a really cool other band called Nomad Pizza was playing around the corner, and we went there instead.
I feel like this is actually about eating pizza.
You know what? Steve's still really observant.
Mm-hmm.
So you
really
you've got
be.
It.
I'm in journalism now, so I sort of it's kind of a thing.
I pick up pizza related info. Mm-hmm. No, but in case you don't know, we do an adventure every episode, and mm-hmm. this one we went to Philly. For the second time, this is our second Philly adventure.
Because it's really close from Brooklyn.
And I briefly saw one of you there, which is how I factor into this.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
not just that.
Into
yeah.
It.
Wait, did I ruin it? Don't minimize your role.
No. You. So the whole thing was.
Wait.
I was excited to go see Superchunk because I love Superchunk, and the reason I love Superchunk is because of you.
Oh, because of the T-shirt. Because of the T-shirt.
You would play.
Comes the heartstrings.
You would play.
We're gonna lay in heartstrings.
Foolish and here's where the strings come in. That's funny that you said that. Like constantly in the car in your rotation with some other things like REM, Life's Rich Pageant, and. Some other stuff. See, this is what I retain as a young 11, 12-year-old kid.
This guy.
Being driven by, like, you know, this cool dude playing cool music. I'd steal cigarettes
from
get this. And all sorts of stuff.
Let me get this straight. Steve Kandel, right, grew up in Jersey, went to the same high school as some other guy, worked on Pete and Pete, then went into a coma for 20 years and woke up at a replacement show. What the hell else have you been doing with your life?
I don't know. I feel like that's pretty much... I think you nailed it. We were in the middle of talking about Philly. Yeah. Now we're all talking about...
Well, no. I was just
have you worked in Philly?
Have you been to Philly?
What were you doing there?
That was only the third time I've ever been to Philly.
Oh, man.
And I've been...
Really?
Yeah. And I was like... And I wasn't even going to go that day. And then it was like, am I so jaded that I'm actually not going to go see Superchunk and the Replacements an hour and a half away? And got in a car with a friend and we just sort of like winged it and it was great. But yeah, that was like, that was not like a well planned out thing. That was like
we had that in common.
Yeah.
Well, I sent you a picture of.
And I saw
Superchunk shirt on Twitter, like, and then motivation. That was that whole thing. You had some motivation.
Did I,
and I didn't realize that you were coming. The mic was like, "No,
I translated."
Means that
I translated.
Steve's driving down here right now.
Yeah.
Did I actually bring you to a Superchunk show?
No, you just bought me the T-shirt.
Then I brought you to one. With one of you, I actually went to see the actual band.
That was me.
That was you.
That was me.
I get you guys confused all the time.
It's all right.
It's okay.
It's easy to
You're
do.
You're taller.
Right. It usually.
You used to be shorter.
No. At night.
Wait. You're the shorter one. This is all. I'm sorry. It's been
and
a
now
very
I'm just
long
the fatter
time.
One.
If I sit on his lap, you will know which one is of us as well. Because only one of us looks like Santa Claus.
It's funny because
Santa Claus.
It's terrible.
No, I'm not clinking for that.
It's a terrible thing to say about it.
They clinked anyway.
We clinked anyway.
Not actual brother.
Yeah. Well, he treats me like my like a non-actual brother.
I don't even talk to my regular brother, so this is quite painful. By regular, I mean my real flesh and blood brother.
I know what you meant.
Yep.
Well, there's lots of stuff going on here. Ba-doom.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Look at Steve Kandel, man.
But I don't know. I said it. I don't know whether we were on the air or not, but it does warm my heart.
I'm trying to remember, like,
the feelings mutual,
what
Steve.
Nirvana CD of yours I might have borrowed and never given
on
back.
He's still
hey,
on
dude,
it.
There's more than one crew member from Pete and Pete who reminds me that you have taken things and not paid for them.
That's just one guy. And I don't even remember. I know that I gave him money for that.
He's like,
well, my parents gave him money. That's what you get.
He
for
said,
trying to trade things with an 11-year-old kid, 12-year-old kid. It's like, here, have a Korg distortion pedal.
Wait, who did
something.
That? Who's hitting you up?
who was it?
Who's giving you trouble?
I can't remember.
Admit it.
I can't remember.
Tom Potowski.
Oh, Tom, yeah. Polish guy.
Have you guys had, like, have Will and Rob been on this?
Where are Chris and Will right now? Chris and Will right now?
Chris and Will are in Los Angeles.
Can we simulcast?
Let's Skype them. Here we go. Chris, Will, go ahead. You're on the air.
Did I just call Will McRobb Will and Rob?
Yeah, it's okay.
That's all
right. He's...
You can edit that out, right?
They fused they fused like Dragon Ball Z into one person. See, look, he got it. He snickered.
No, but they have...
What's wrong with you?
We did a live show at a comic... thing.
Stan Lee's Kamikaze in L.A. There, yeah. Since they both live in L.A., that was awesome.
Chris, Will, and Toby.
We had Toby Huss, and he made fun of my tube.
Yeah, Toby and Mike had a lot.
They were button
heads. Standing battle.
I signed.
Some things
Toby,
never changed. Steve.
Toby's still doing stuff. That's good.
He does very
Toby's
good characters. He does really good characters, yeah. And we saw him a couple times on Thrilling Adventure Hour, which is a sick show.
Mm-hmm.
A sick.
He's on Halt and Catch Fire.
As well.
Show on AMC. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. On AMC.
No, we're allowed to, yeah.
AMC's Halt and Catch Fire.
Not a computing
Sundays
podcast.
At 9 o'clock. Sorry, am I doing this right?
Yeah, you're doing great.
You're popping, but no, it's great.
Pop, pop, pop.
I want to see all of us back together in some TV show. What's it going to be? What are they going to call it?
So here's the thing, and I'm sure this has come up. Like, I mean, I feel like the Fuller House thing is breaking down. You know, that breaks the dam, doesn't it, right?
It's, wait, Kieran Culkin's character from Home Alone, Fuller, runs into the cast from the Full House and they decide to adopt him?
Wait, so...
Wow.
Was that really Kieran Culkin's
holy shit.
Name?
Yes.
Fuller, take it easy on the Pepsi.
There's a lot of ways in for you guys. There can be the gritty Home Alone reboot.
Totally.
Where, like, the dudes break in and, like, but may actually, like, torture the kid.
But he's
like,
Devin Retray. He's Devin Retray in the new one.
It's Home Alone meets Saw.
That's pretty much just there Home Alone with an
there
R rating.
Easily be a Mighty Ducks reboot.
Yeah.
I could see you as a coach. I could see it.
Hey,
and
I
I'm getting
be a coach. Why
I'm
not?
Getting Eldon Henson, like, ground into my eyeballs because of Daredevil. I was like, why do I resent this guy so much? Oh, because he body checked somebody 20 years ago.
They did do the porn remake of Mighty Ducks, though.
No. What's that called?
What was the title?
You didn't get the call.
What was the title?
The Mighty Fucks.
Man.
Wow.
They weren't really working.
You
hard.
Really,
how long did it take you to think of that, Jeremy?
He's been sitting on that for a long
six
time.
6 to 7 seconds.
But here's the real thing that, like, because these cult things get revived, like,
the Replacements.
There has to be someone in a room somewhere thinking about doing, like, Pete and Pete, right? Or are those people you?
We
I
get,
popped
no,
again.
We
too
get
bad.
A lot of it.
You think it's Sumner Redstone, or he's just far too old?
No,
he's
Sumner
far too old to be able to.
They just fired everyone at Viacom. I don't know if you knew that.
That's cool. Maybe we'll finally get the third season released.
Oh, that's, is that stuff still not...
They never resolved it, no.
So what, like...
The DVDs are in a warehouse somewhere.
Is that true?
I heard it's, it's in Lake Hiawatha.
What about, like, so that's not streaming or anything?
No, I mean, the season three you can only really watch on YouTube, or you can go...
Or your house.
You can go on, like, Amazon. Yeah, you can... I've got a lot of VHS
he's
copies.
He's got a live
stream.
So streaming.
If anyone wants to come over,
yeah, bring a VCR, because I don't have one.
And $100.
And RCA, and RCA plugs.
And an eighth of weed, and a case of beer, and we can do it. We can get down.
Yeah, and four of New York City's finest.
No, bravest, not finest.
You want the firefighters?
They're fine and
that's
brave.
Actually, that's probably why they're not releasing it on video, because that wouldn't be that would not be as good an experience. Why have Blu-ray
right
when you can,
you can
have
go to
Tamborelli's
VHS. Tamborelli's first floor apartment.
So on that day, yeah, you know, I was pretty hungover.
Oh, that's
yeah,
the
I was 11.
That's
I know,
the commentary.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're just doing, oh, yeah,
at this point. At this point, the fellas could no longer stand each other, so they did commentary in separate booths.
This guy that used to drive me to the set, his name was Steve. Steve Candel.
Steve
used
Marshall.
To, used to give me cigarettes all the time, and
what do you mean all the time?
Stop with the cigarettes thing, man. I don't even think that's true. Oh yeah, Michael Stipe. Yeah, he was an asshole. Like yeah, that was, you're just sort of watching the episodes going. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That guy was hard to work with. Yeah.
Was BB Newirth on the season that you were there?
No.
No.
Jesus Christ.
I get confused, man.
No.
I was younger. I was younger than
when?
You.
Still?
Yeah, still.
You didn't catch up in some sort of when I went in the hyperbolic time chamber?
No. No.
You could probably get Trachtenberg, right?
On the show?
I mean, not for the revival, for more adventures of Pete and Pete. The further adventures of Pete.
I think
where you guys have kids.
Go ahead.
And
oh no, yes, and
you could totally do it.
No,
and I'm the cool babysitter. And I'm the cool babysitter. They want to go out of town, like a couple's weekend. Go out of town. And I'm like, sure, I'm a cool dad. Let's go. Come on, kids. Let's hang out.
This could totally work.
We did a weird.
And like, Artie's like the mayor or something, right? You know, like this could all
police chief. But I love it. I love it.
Oh shit!
I'm writing this all down. Keep going.
I mean, I'm just saying. If we can do, and we're living in a world where Fuller House is a real thing. Like, this isn't, like,
is that the name?
You can,
is that really
yeah,
the name?
It's called
really
Fuller House.
Brought to you by Pepsi.
You can joke about it all you want, but there's like this is.
Yeah, it's happening.
In, this can easily.
In the realm of that. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that like, make a call if you have
hey
to
Hey man,
calls.
Boy meets girl.
In
same thing. Whatever. Exactly.
Girl meets world.
But the girl, the girl's name is World. That's the catch. She's like, "What's your name?"
Wait, is that actually true?
No, that's a different world. That's the reboot of a different world.
Rarely does it say true stuff.
But I'm like, we are living in a world where if this, you know, this could happen. This could happen. It's all completely plausible. How is that?
Show Mike and I the money.
What?
Show us the money.
Listen, when this money. For the listener, when it comes out, we will be fanning imaginary money in front of
us. Yeah, $100.
I think
bill.
If you just start the rumor, that's how it happens.
You just
we
say
could do this tomorrow.
Right, like the sex tape.
I mean, you're
of where
a
I work,
of a powerful, listen, powerful internet
you think,
news source.
You
you're
think
a taste
I,
influencer,
you think I
bro.
Couldn't? You think I couldn't walk across the room tomorrow and be like, oh yeah? So I don't know. I saw Danny Tamborelli and Mike Marotta last night. They're talking about a new Pete and Pete series. By the end of the day.
By lunch. Let's be honest. By lunch.
By lunch.
There will be four different lists.
People would freak the fuck out.
By lunch, there would be five seamless delivery guys with all of the gossip.
I'm just saying.
Well,
like,
I remember
it got a little crazy at the BuzzFeed holiday party.
Oh, did you go to that?
You
were the special guest.
You were featured freak, right?
It was like a 90s night.
Yeah. Special freak with just Andrew Keegan and I. It was great.
That worked?
And then the Bayside Tigers cover band played, and then I got up there and I played bass and sang, or played Say It Ain't So.
There was like a line.
Weezer. That was
there
good.
There was like a line of people to talk to you, and then like, and then I was, and then I would like just sort of be talking to you, and people would be like, how do you know
you
him?
You know him?
Yeah.
You know him?
Yeah. All his coworkers like, what the hell is going on here?
I agree with what you're saying that we can look at something.
I work
something.
At BuzzFeed, by the way. Maybe we haven't established.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I
Lord.
Work at BuzzFeed.com, the website.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Is that that's a website?
It's a website for children.
This time.
It's a website for children.
And that's where I work. And so that's why we're, that, you know.
What Dragon Ball Z character are you?
That's not a bad idea.
I sent that to you last night.
Yeah, you're Majin Buu, just so you know.
I don't care.
Exactly. That doesn't. It rolls right off your back. Don't worry. You'll wake up 2 years from now and be like, "What? He called me boo."
I don't get that at all.
Yeah, it's okay.
Thank God. No, but that's just you, and forever the whoever the listeners.
You're losing them one by one right now.
Okay, are we recording yet?
I'm ready.
I'm ready to go. Right now.
So Steve, just tell me when it's real.
19? Is this episode 19?
Steve Candel is with us.
I think we're on 18, but
18.
We got to release. We got to release a couple more, and then we'll catch up.
We're getting there. We'll get to 20. Don't worry. Well, we might. I don't know. We might fold tonight.
Maybe we get to 20 tonight. We can just stop. This could be a two-parter.
Yeah, if you hit stop and then hit record again, it's technically two episodes.
I just want to get as many shows as the three seasons Steve Pete got. And also, then we can drop the mic and be like, that's it.
And after 100 episodes,
we did it.
Yeah, quest for syndication.
After syndication, and then that's where the money is. So you just have to get to 100.
You never see those Charles in Charge guys on the street looking for money. They're like all set. They're all set.
Oh man,
we can by the end of the weekend. We can get to 100.
I agree that the power of nostalgia and what you could marshal that because you're in a good position too. But also everything happening 20 years ago. 2015 is like the 20th anniversary of every cool thing that happened in 1995. Last year was the anniversary of Crooked Rain, yada, 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 yada. Like there was just too many things that happened. We were always like, where were you 20 years ago?
Well, I previously worked at Spin Magazine where that was like a huge thing they had to deal with. Like the 20, you know,
Pavement?
Like,
yeah. I can understand that.
The 20th anniversary. Like, no, but it was true. Like that becomes such currency. I guess it's still very much the case for content where you know,
but say like you have this thing, like you have a slice of cake from your wedding or whatever, and you take it out 10 years later, you look at it, you're like, oh, nice piece of cake, you put it back in the freezer.
Wait,
do you do it's that? A metaphor, it's a metaphor.
It's like, it's not then, a you good
take,
one,
then you take the cake out. Hey, you've never been married, shut up. Then you take the cake out like another 10 years later. Are you going to eat the cake? You're just going to look at it and be like, oh, that's good, or do you cheapen something by revisiting it so much? Like, I will listen to Cut Your Hair. I'll listen to the whole fucking album all the way through. I love that album. And I'm not going to lecture anybody else about it like they don't get it.
Did you not see them when they played a few years ago? Or did that feel like that was going to spoil something?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't go. The last... Okay. Yeah, I went way back when.
But can I tell you... But here's the truth of the matter. Like they were not a very good live band
at all.
But when they played a few years ago, when they did all that, they were like really good, and they played all the songs, and they did all the and like that's actually what the Replacements thing was.
Just gonna say that.
So if you were gonna if you were going to romanticize the Replacements, like you know, they were famous.
You
for
can't
being
sentimentalize how
terrible.
Crappy their live shows were.
I'm a little bit older than you, and I did not like see them like in bars in Minneapolis in 1981 or 82 because I'm not actually that old, but I did see them like. I saw them play like really shitty shows. I saw them like twice in the Meadowlands opening up for people.
Ooh.
Opening up for Tom Petty and opening up for Keith Richards. And it was horrible. And I saw them like a couple other, and they were just, it wasn't like horrible in like in a funny way. It was just like, it wasn't bad.
It was drunken,
good.
It was drunken bad.
And then
bad,
I saw
bad.
Like, and then I saw one of the last shows they played like in 91 when it was like, they were like sober and like, you know, had like different people in the band. And it was like the different drummer, Steve, whatever his name was. And it was like, but they actually played the songs straight through. And it was like, oh, they played the songs. It was like kind of cool, but it was like boring. They were wearing suits, and it was like not plaid suits, but like they were like, you know,
all
they
shook
were,
down. Or
all shook down. Yeah. And it was like, at the time it was like, well, I guess this is how it ends then, just kind of like, but it was like in a way better because they actually played the songs. Now, like, what they're doing is, like, they're wearing, like, the plaid suits. They're kind of finishing songs, and they kind of play things well, but they also fall apart sometimes. It feels like it's a little bit of...
Both?
A little bit of both. It's kind of sloppy, but it's kind of pro.
When they decided to play two songs at once?
It's kind of not the band. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. That was funny, dude.
That
was
totally
so weird.
Entertaining. But, like, you can't really be like, oh, I wish I'd seen them back. Because a lot of that was really bad. So like you weren't going to see them play, you know, for an hour and 40 minutes and it like too many times, you know, like, you know, so it's like the pavement stuff, maybe even a better example. Cause like those like pavement shows when they played, you know, when they got back together, they like played like for 2 hours, and those were like good shows where they played all the songs. And it's just like, I don't know. You can
romanticize?
Romanticize, but like a lot of like things weren't necessarily always better just because it was like at the time that it was happening. That's all. You know?
Kind of like us.
Kind of like you.
True.
But
we did see Soundgarden when Super Unknown came out.
And those shows were actually good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That must have been
and I saw them most recently, and they were still okay, but like, it wasn't like, it wasn't like that.
It's not all the same. Cause like, and actually the reason why that would like make sense is like, let's just say it, like he was a sexy dude, you know, like there's something Chris about Cornell, seeing that guy at a certain time where like, that's a certain kind of appeal. And you see them now, it's like, oh, hey, they look pretty good considering that's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as watching someone who's like sort of magnetic and supposed to be magnetic for a certain reason. But and that's like part of the
Iggy's
thing.
Held on to that longer.
Yeah, he's held on to
longer. You know what I mean? Long.
Like maybe too long.
Longly.
The best Iggy story I have was like when I drove him to set one day. It was like middle school. It was like the
dance fever.
The dance with Luscious Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Allison McLean directed.
That's right. God, some of the directors are on that. As we were pulling to the parking lot, China Girl came on the radio, on the car radio. And they actually said, like, and that was like China Girl by David Bowie, but a lot of people don't know that that was actually written by Iggy Pop. And a dude sitting in the car next to me, like, looks over and goes,
yeah. Gives the nod of approval.
Gives
the nod.
Sorry, it's
for the listeners. Steve's nodding.
For the listener.
And like, it turned off, and we sort of walked in. But.
then you guys bopped to Breakfast like pimps. You're like, that's right. That's right.
It was like under Christ. It was like slow motion walking into the middle school.
It's like, I know it's cashier just whistling.
See, because I thought you were talking about like records. I remember finding some records in Nutley, like Live at Leeds, and like some just old classic rock records. I remember finding somebody was throwing them away across the street from the Catholic school in Nutley. But I don't remember borrowing this Nirvana album for you. I'm gonna go back
still
to it.
Still on the Nirvana.
It's gonna be revisited.
It's okay. I don't even own a CD player, man. It's cool.
How's it going with that?
Not
even in the car.
Player?
Yeah, not even in the car.
Are you a Spotify guy? Rhapsody? Do you care?
He's more a title. He's a title guy. You can tell.
No, I'm school. I'm a Rhapsody guy.
I'm kind of more of a sitting alone with my thoughts guy.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I can't do that. It gets me in trouble.
What's your commute like? Do you read or you listen to music?
My commute is, I actually, this is kind of terrible. I actually do work. I actually edit stories on my phone like an asshole.
Able to go above ground and edit stories on your phone?
It's all on...
offline.
Wow, this is terrible. This is terribly boring. Yeah, no, just on Google Docs.
Wow, they make you work on your commute.
No,
that's horrible.
No, I actually, it's not. That's even weirder. I find it easier to concentrate in a subway car than I do in my place of employ.
Wow.
Maybe you could live in the subway.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
That wouldn't be the first time.
Or decorate
that someone,
your office. Like
that wasn't
a
the first
car.
Person. The first time that someone's told me that might be
sorry,
better.
Logical leap. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to try and listen to podcasts and read, but that never worked. But I also, so I have...
at the same time?
Yeah, that's
distracting.
A dumb idea. But the thing is, it's like, I have two children, small.
Kids.
Humans that I'm legally responsible
Kendall's
for.
Kendall's got kids.
Yeah. And so I, you know, you get home, like, there's not a lot of time to like, watch things or like read things. So it's sometimes like that sort of half hour, 40 minutes in the morning is actually like, what's like the thing I'm going to actually like take in today. And
right.
Is it going to be an album?
Steve's safe space is
a little bit,
New York City
or am I going to get like worked? There's like, but there's something about that bubble that becomes like a little bit different from like the rest of the day. And,
have you missed your stop?
Have I missed my stop? I haven't missed a stop once reading. What was it? Yeah, not a lot. I missed
going on the way to work playing a game on my phone one time. Never again.
It's easy to do. I've done that recently.
I've been drunk on a subway and woken up at the end of the line.
Whoa.
Let's talk about
that. I don't care how you how you go to work drunk.
No, hang on.
I don't go to work drunk. I wasn't going away. It's just the only time I ever missed a stop.
Let's talk about that.
I think
you
I see what the intervention is about.
No, it's not an intervention.
No.
I mean, this is in my early 20s. I just moved to the Lower East Side.
And what were you going through? Tell me about that.
Oh, no, it wasn't like anything.
Did you wake up in Jamaica or Coney Island?
No, it was Coney Island.
There you go. I knew it was the F train.
It was the F train.
I knew it was the F train.
How did that make you feel?
I felt like I was stepping out of the train on the in the late 70s as a warrior.
What were you running from?
My feelings. Mm-hmm. Mostly running away from my feelings. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of soul searching in my early 20s on Avenue C and 3rd Street.
It's the warrior's theme, sorry.
I know what that was. You know, I was the late one to the party. You guys were all living in the alphabet when it was cool, and I caught the very end of it. Because I was between C and D, and it never got totally gentrified.
Oh, it's gone now.
It is gone, because the corner of Avenue D in Houston is like a 15-story luxury apartment building overlooking the projects. It's just like, what the hell is going on?
I don't go over there a lot, but sometimes I'm like so expecting it to be very different that I do go there. I went to like 2A for something like recently for the first time in like years. And I was like, I was in the cabin. I was like bracing for like how, like, oh my, we're going to, oh, I used to live over there. That's my old apartment. We're going around the corner. And then like you sort of turn on the, it's like the same, you know, like,
yeah,
like
most of the crew like, is still there.
Like, that,
still
like
there.
That restaurant's kind of
except,
a bank.
Except for the two buildings, the two buildings that exploded across the street from your house.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Although what survived is amazing is Paul's Palace.
I'm just happy Moisha survived. I got to get my Hamantaschen.
Yeah. Oh, he's got his Hamantaschen.
I do have a Hamantaschen fix. I'm a pastry man.
Paul's Palace, which is my favorite burger in New York, survived.
I've never
That's your favorite burger in New York?
Never had it. Where? Paul Palace?
It's
I guess right there.
Literally right. It's on second between 7th and St. Mark's.
It's next to the B&H Dairy or whatever?
Right next to Gem Spot. You've walked by it a million times and never thought of it. Now it's called Paul's, like they changed the name slightly. It's like Paul's
Boutique, right?
Palatial.
Paul's Da Palace or something like that, which I don't love.
They didn't want to pay the $100,000 for the branding.
All New York City successful restaurants run into copyright problems with the descendants of the owners. That's why Patsy's became Grimaldi's, Melissa's, became Leonardo's, became...
Yeah, I don't know the story, but it has to be something like that because it's the same menu. It's the same people. There's like one lady who's been working in there forever, the same, and
that's so how you get the secret sauce.
It's all the same, but the name is slightly different, so there had to be something like that. But it is like three or four doors down from like where the block now stops.
That's why Dan and I at first we started our podcast and we called it The Adventures of Pete and Pete, and we just, like, got a letter 6 months in. Just like 6 months in, we got a letter.
That's why I have to call it The New Adventures of Pete and Pete, which is what...
See, DC tried putting it out
no
at that, but then Marvel did Pete Universe and
so
it was a much
so
better.
So let's talk about what the gritty reboot's going to be. I think it's going to be something in the spirit of Fuller House. It'll be like The Adventures of Pete and Pete and Pete. Like, one of you guys is going to have a kid named Pete. Right?
It's going to be me. It's going to be me.
That's how it's going to be.
Well, if it's a single father, then it's you. But if it's a stable family life,
but I
then
think,
it's
I
me.
Think, I think that's how it's going to go, The Adventures of Pete and Pete and Pete. And people go, whoa, whoa, whoa. We thought that I knew what that was, but it's got clearly something different.
Call
that's
it
not
P3.
Full House.
We'll call it
it's
P3.
Fuller House. It'll be called P3.
P3.
Does Arnie Rawls get a cameo? Does the dad?
Hardy, who played our dad, is going to be the Maytag repairman and reprising one of his favorites.
Is everyone still with us?
Everyone's alive still.
Yeah.
Oh, who died?
Bill Hickey died.
Yeah.
Just Bill
Grandpa.
Hickey.
Grandpa died.
Grandpa's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. William Hickey was...
Yeah.
That's amazing.
For the listener, Steve is reminiscing about all our cool guest stars, which you can do while this is offline. There's no need to do it during the podcast.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to turn Mike and Danny's podcast into
a referendum
trip.
On the past.
Oh,
I didn't mean to all of a sudden.
Yeah, we're
be a
really
spiel talking about the show that they.
Oh
used
no, we're
to be
future. No, we're future. Future
People
looking
send
all
us
the time.
Tweets. They want to hear more about
casting.
It. They want to know that this guy Jeremy, who's our producer, has never seen the show.
That's not true.
He continues to disappoint.
I've watched the shorts.
He has not.
And selected episodes. I just haven't seen all of them.
It's bad. You should keep the mystique.
That's what I'm thinking. And, you know, I just...
They still hold up, Steve.
They were so cute.
I bet they're still good. I would, especially if the music, you know, if we could, I could see season 3.
Well, that's the whole thing.
I'm sure it would be great.
Is that what's holding it up is music cues?
Well, there's a lot. I mean,
original music and the rights.
In the first two seasons, they don't have, you know, original music that they wanted to have. Like, I doubt, like, the magnetic field stuff is in there and all that stuff.
Well, let's make Jeremy watch them and annotate the music that's in the.
I think we'll get the logs of all the original music.
Well, no, you should have the original music on VHS tapes, right?
I do.
VHS-C.
He's a smart guy. That's 100% true.
I haven't won 3/4 because I was archiving. my Sony UW-1800.
There's another show that I worked on in production around then, too. It was like that. There was a Michael Moore show around then.
TV Nation.
TV Nation. Do you remember? Was that before or after?
I just remember you name-dropping Michael Moore. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I think this was...
Wait, you did, another show?
Yeah, I left. Yeah.
You're not a one-show man.
But it was like kind of like, not to the same degree, but it was something that like people like liked and is remembered fondly, but was never seen again because of all these weird rights issues. Was never on video or anything like that, too.
And it was
never
genre bending. It was genre bending, or it was just like very forceful.
It was actually like legitimately like pre Daily Show.
Yeah, man.
And including a lot of the same people. A lot of the people went on to the Daily Show, the Kilbourne version, like right after that. But like none of that stuff is like available anywhere because of these weird...
Due to rights clearances?
Rights clearances and weird things where like this, like the network owns this part and the studio owns that part.
If everybody had just been paid fairly, none of this shit would have been a problem.
That's a whole different anthill. I meet people at the rap party. You know, I meet people at the rap party at various jobs, and mm-hmm. I'm really not a rap party person. But when you do, and this person is like, I do, you know, clearances mm-hmm. for the network, I didn't want to instantly judge them, but I couldn't help it. There I was, already instantly judging them.
So you've been doing Grip and Electric stuff.
I've been in the union since 2007.
But I remember even
on the show,
I sowed the
you
seeds.
Always hung out with those guys.
I sowed
always,
the seeds. And I didn't even smoke weed back then. It is so weird.
No, but that you were just always. I think the thing that I always remember, like, you know, both of you guys, is you were always interested in the process. And I felt like I came into the show, you know, the third out of three seasons, and it was already an established thing. And there was already like an established like
clicks.
Not clicks, but no, but you guys had a very, very specific rapport with people. But I like always remember like that was you.
We were like
the main. Like, there's someone in particular who like the
ringleader. Okay, so Dan and I were banned, or maybe it was just me.
No, we were both banned from the truck.
No, I was banned from playing hacky sack. That is a real giveaway that I.
But you were smoking.
But I was. It's so weird. It's like when you. It's like when the drugs run out. You say that Grateful Dead music sucks. But.
No, I used to hide out in the grip truck so I wouldn't have to go to school.
Did you really do that? That's what the grips were doing.
Well,
too,
they were
you know?
Doing that. No, there was that, and it was like that's where I would like they would give me you know a Jesus Lizard CD and then,
oh I was gonna say Tramp Stamp
then,
but
then I think Cypress Hill's Black Sunday was real big at that point. That was a real big
that was actually from Cypress Hill album right there. That was not a sound
effect
from
Mike's mouth.
That
was Mike.
That was actually the record.
Thank you.
We'll pay for that later.
Be real.
It's fine. It's fine.
So you're saying you kind of jumped onto a moving train is what you're saying. That's what I'm guessing.
Oh, a little bit, but I mean, I think I particularly remember like you're like, I cannot remember like whether it was the best boy or the gaffer or whatever. But like I feel like you're like.
Oh, Sean and I got along very well. Sean was a gaffer.
Sean shared it.
Sean was a gaffer, and
I remember that.
Keith was the best boy, and I just worked with Keith this week on the TV show that I'm working on.
Keith
Devlin.
Yes,
Keith had long ass hair.
Yeah.
And you'll remember Keith because. He pulled out a knife and cut off a lock of my hair at the rap party. No, you don't remember that. I'm the only one who remembers that. Okay. That anybody sees him on the street, ask him for
honestly,
my hair
that would
back.
Have been a great... I wish I had thought of that. That would have been a great idea.
Somebody ask him for my hair back.
For what reason?
Oh,
just
I had
he was drunk
I had got,
at a rap party?
No, I had gotten that Tank Girl haircut right before,
oh, right.
At the during the last
oh,
episode. So
that
I was
makes
just,
sense.
I was completely tufted. I looked like Daigoro from Lone Wolf and Cub at that point.
But I feel like that was, I think that, you know, when you more, you know, grow up on a set and like you sort of, around those people and you sort of understand what it takes to make something look like a living room and how much work it goes into making something look like this, you know, and I think that there's an actual understanding of those people, and the fact that that was like a track that you stayed on feels like very true, you know, and very like much like what I
would expect him to do.
Well, no, because I mean, it's I'm actually trying to make a serious point. I don't know that it's really like working, but like as opposed to working on a television show and be like, oh, I'm going to write all these things or have a production company, like go like that way with it. The idea that like, you know, there is an actual like seeming to me like chemical comfort level with being on a set and being around certain people doing certain things and deciding that like that's the kind of thing that you want to do with your life, as opposed to
like nine to 5 hours
or even the part where it's writing something or might turn into something, or like, because this is something that I always felt like I tried to explain to people when I was working in production, because I think a lot of people would like work on a show thinking that like, oh, that's going to help them like write a script, or and it's like, and it's not that at all. It's a completely different.
As soon as you wrote Living in Oblivion, that was done. You know what I mean? Whoever wrote Living in Oblivion, the genre of writing about a movie was done, like being on a set.
But I just think that people have this idea that if you're working on a show, then you're in position to be around, like
advance yourself.
It doesn't work that way. Like the reality of it. Side. But I also think that like working on a, you know, on a production and working on set is actually its own reward. It's not a means to something else, which is something that like I don't think I totally understood when I was, you know, 23 or whatever, because you're always thinking like, well, that's you're a PA or whatever. It's right. By definition, that's a stepping stone. But like your comfort level with the actual, no, like being on set and having this sort of like surrogate family where you're going from place to place, location to location, pulling in these weird hours, like that's something that like you only can sort of like talk about with the other people that were there.
What you're saying basically is that we're circus people.
Yeah, in the best possible way. I've used that exact phrase.
We
before
pack
too.
Up our trains. We pack up our trains. We go to the next spot. And we unpack our tents.
Absolutely. No, but like that. But that is what it is. And I was doing that for a while, and then I think I lost my. I lost my sort of ability to sort of keep that up, because I also, there was like a couple of years in New York where the circus kind of like wasn't really
in
coming
town,
to town.
Yeah. So good.
And like that coincided with me like paying rent for the first time. And that was like tricky. But in terms of the idea of, and I've used that phrase, like this, the circus, like I love that. And that became its own reward. You don't think of that like, oh, you know, if I get this job on this show, you know, what could that like lead to creatively?
That people who work in production don't think logically; they think with their heart.
There's a camaraderie to it, and there's a thing that like, I don't know, the fact that you've sort of like put your life around like being around that every day and not getting sucked into. I mean, I know you like. Like,
we know you did, you know, 40 Days and 40 Nights and Slackers.
It's on my IMDb. I tried to have it erased, but they will not. They keep putting it back.
But there's a way to go with that too. Like the idea that, see, I'm trying to actually make like a quasi.
He's really just talking about Mike.
No, he's trying to make a quasi-meaningful point, which is difficult in a basement in Park Slope on a leather sectional.
It's very comfortable sectional. But I think that it's about, like, you know, having that lifestyle for, like, a reason that feels true and it's not just, like careerist in the sense of, like, oh, I'm an actor, so I have to go, you have to sort of...
I agree, but I was not into that lifestyle. I was an actor first, and I grew up on set, and I understand the need to like be on set because I'd been doing it since I was 5 years old or even younger. And I know Dan's approach is from a similar, very young age.
Same exact thing.
But I feel like those, I don't know, that time you can't, it doesn't translate well to normal years for normal people.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that you're incredibly like, and both not you two, you know what I mean? Because I've actually said this before. You're like very like well adjusted, coming from something that it, that is like truly fucked people up.
Yeah, inherently totally, fucked yeah. people up.
You know, sure. and people that you know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, and like and like to go through and like that that has a lot to do with like, you know, I saw you with your parents and I saw how your families handled it and I knew that that was like, but even still, like, you know, you still have to sort of want things for like the right reasons. And I think that like, you know, like that's like a real thing to sort of really, you know, be around that your whole life and then sort of choose to be around it, but like in a specific way that feels right and yeah, not that, try that and be like chasing you. Something.
I wonder if this, if the Selma Blair incident soured me on acting forever.
What was the Selma
Blair? Oh, you were there and I was there and Selma Blair was there and nobody else was there.
Wait, what?
You?
Well, now you have to.
Me? You were running first team. You were running first team.
Uh-huh.
You got me and then had to go grab Selma and bring us both to set.
Wait, Selma Blair was on the show?
Yeah, she was on the TV show, bro.
What?
She was on Pete and Pete. She played my love interest.
Season 3.
I do remember.
I remember.
Oh, you remember it and you weren't even there.
I just remember that Selma Blair was on the show.
All right, so what
happened? I did not know that I was ever in the same room as Selma Blair.
Steve, you remember this?
I don't. Tell
me.
I'm very old.
You're gonna remember. You're gonna remember this. You're gonna cringe. You're okay. gonna remember this, and we're gonna lose what viewership we ever had because they watch a blank screen and listen to the audio. It's
great.
It's really.
You've done your market research.
All our YouTube videos are just blank. It's
all right. So what is it?
Steve got me. We headed to set. Got to go get Selma. Stopped by. Selma turned and looked at us. You remember this? Lifted up her skirt. She was wearing regular underwear. Normal person panties, whatever girls wear at that point, and she said the word vagina at you and me. She flashed us her underwear. Steve, I remember this as plain as day, dude.
Holy shit.
Steve, I remember this as plain as day, and you were my only witness. If we're in court, now she can sue me, and you need to back me up. You need to back me up.
Yeah, you remember that, don't you, Steve?
Oh, Lord. People are going to call me.
For the
me.
Listener, he's shaking his head. Yes, he does.
No, he's shaking
that.
His head in disbelief right now.
I swear, I can't even picture her. Like what episodes? Like, I don't even...
The bus driver episode. I was an apprentice bus driver.
It's funny because I did a movie with Selma, and I don't know why I called her by her first name, but she did the exact same thing to me.
Yeah, not funny.
40 years later.
I don't think
vagina.
So.
Vagina.
But I
don't why would she just randomly just said the word vagina and
but
flashed
like,
her...
How do I mean, this now this is just about me because I just... Now I can't believe that I don't...
You have
heard things like
you
that.
Have so had two kids. You have two kids and been up a lot of late nights.
Sure, but...
And
I,
edited a lot of docs on your phone on the train.
I feel like I wouldn't even remember that 15 years ago. I mean, that doesn't even sound like... Like a little familiar,
but this is not a lie by me. I will take a
I'm
polygraph.
I'm not saying you're lying.
I'll
I'm
take
saying,
a polygraph.
But like
test.
Me, like maybe it wasn't me.
No, it was you.
I
bro.
Didn't usually work. I
no,
didn't walk
was,
first team.
It was
I was
you.
Second AD, not first AD.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh shit, second AD. That would have been me. That's actually my job.
Wait. Dun 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 dun.
Get it together, man.
It wasn't Kim Kennedy who was doing this.
No, but I remember Kim being around.
Wow.
Sorry, bud.
Do you remember driving me home one night when? I got my first kiss on the third season of Pete
who?
And
Pete from Erica Sanez, who was the daughter of the people that we held all of our equipment in a storage space.
And you drove me home and we made out in the back of the car.
Hang on, wait, let's away. Fix the pronoun there.
What?
You drove home. And she and okay. I.
Thank
and
you.
She and I made out.
No, I didn't know. I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
No, I would hate to.
I got a New Jersey public education, just like you.
I would hate to think that Steve Kandel was endangering Danny's life by driving him home while kissing him. No, nobody could take that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like you were. Like, I'm just saying, like I'm like. I was.
This story is about as believable as mine, by the way.
No, that happened. Did yours really happen,
dude?
Dude, where's
dude.
My car?
You got,
that's an amazing story that I just learned about myself today.
I will stake my non-existent role in Dude, Where's My Car that was offered to me before Sean Williams got.
But you said no?
I said no, and I said yes to Slackers.
Mm.
I will stake it.
Listen,
I will give you
first of all,
I will give you all of my residuals from Dude, Where's My Car?
You were.
I said yes to Pearl Harbor.
I feel like you were getting typecast
as some sort of bro,
some sort of like stoner dude, and like I don't know, you're more than that.
Dude's got weird hair, man.
Thank you. Thank you both. You both affirmed me.
No, no. Back then he had weird hair.
God, Steve,
you never saw the pigtails that he had?
Yeah, no,
Steve, I need you to go back to your handwritten journals from that
time.
Really,
I'm gonna have to find that if those exist, which they don't.
I burned them a long time ago.
Shit, yeah. Man. I stopped journaling, which is a bad sign, right?
I only started journaling because you journaled, Mike.
I learned it from watching you.
Did you guys write during that? Did you?
I have a bunch of stuff written down from that.
Oh yeah.
Man, why don't we do something like that?
Mine are rather pubescent. I'll give you that.
Even better.
Yours would be pre-pubescent.
Yeah, his are pre. Jeremy's are pre-pubescent.
Why aren't we doing a page read every day on the podcast? That's a great idea.
Tell you how much I love Karen Nichols, the makeup artist on the show.
This is more of a forward.
Karen was cool as hell.
She was, actually.
She was cool as shit.
You know, there are a lot of cool people working on the show. Like a guy named Steve Kandel.
Jeannie Bryant.
KJB.
Jeannie Bryant. See, that's an amazing story
there. She has made a name for herself.
She's running it.
Dynamite. Let there be more period pieces in the world that she can educate people about.
And she was dating Will for a while too?
Am I allowed to say that?
Uh oh.
It's okay.
Uh-oh.
I don't know who's listening.
I just said yes. So
Dan,
I'm not gonna cut it out.
Dan, statute of limitations. You can cut that. Yeah.
Dan, were you dating Will at the time that you got cast in Pete and Pete? Wouldn't that have been a conflict of interest?
Ooh. Maybe.
Touchy story.
I mean, I wasn't, but
if you were.
If I was,
this is New York Post.
It would have been
this is New York Post style. Yeah. New York Post style journalism.
It's okay,
Steve. It's been a fucking trip down memory lane for these guys.
Yeah, thanks for denying my best memory ever.
It wasn't a denial
at
all.
You were there. You were there.
I feel like that it's
okay. Let me jog your memory about it because at the time. I'm going to thank you, Jeremy, for your closing segue that didn't happen.
Well,
at the time, you told the story to Babs, Minor Dutch Royalty. At the time, you related the story to your roommate.
But was she...
She was wearing... Okay, do I need
to
get...
But was she like... But was she known... Like, what was she in anything? Like, what? Like, somewhat... Like, was she known at the time?
I think she was just... She was the body double on Lolita. That's what we knew that she had done right before she did.
The body double on Lolita.
That's what we knew that she had done for Pete and Pete.
Wow.
That should never been on Nickelodeon.
That does not sound familiar. This is pre...
But you remember having a roommate.
I do have a roommate.
You remember having a roommate back then.
Named Babs. Yep. I do remember all that.
Minor Dutch Royalty.
Minor Dutch Royalty.
I remember this so well, dude.
How do you remember?
I'm good.
You are very good.
Maybe journaling? I don't know. I should try and give that a try.
Well, you know, when you write stuff down, when you handwrite stuff down, you tend to remember
But I did that more then. I don't do that at all anymore, which is terrible.
He has kids.
But I did do that a bit then, and that still doesn't sound...
Okay. Maybe if you're going through the archives, this might stick out. That's all I'm saying. All
right.
The whole skirt, the incident of the skirt in Jersey.
Was it unprovoked?
Yes. It was non sequitur to the nth, dude. Did not make any fucking sense. You and I looked at each other afterwards like, you know, and then we just went to set. Because that was what we were doing. We were going to go do a scene in the show.
All right.
Man, I wish I was there.
You were there.
Yeah, but I wasn't there for that. But that's okay.
Steve. Mike's checking his phone. Is that how we know we're done?
No, my call sheet just came through for tomorrow, and I have to forward it to all my guys.
Well, and
he's really doing work.
Call sheet is a for 12:30 though, so we can
12:30.
Yeah, we could stay up till midnight casting if you want.
Steve, final thoughts. So, did you like the concert?
Yeah, I what?
What? I did. Thank you.
Thanks. So, speaking of concerts, did you like it?
Yeah, yeah. So my sort of thing with that too, which I accidentally got like extremely high before that, which I didn't mean to. But my friends, they had a little teeny bite of a brownie, which was like one of those things. Like, oh yeah, sure. And then like an hour and a half later, it's like, oh, so I guess this is happening. And that was right when the place was, when it was getting like incredibly overcrowded.
Filled up so fast. It
filled up so fast. I had to leave because Bucks County was getting right in front of me.
It was all dizzy. And so that got all very sort of like weird and intense and uncalled and like unexpected. And
but you powered through
and jittery, and we powered through and
like the Replacements.
And that wound up being like a little bit more of the story than we were planning on. But it was a. But yes, it was great.
Did White Manna taste that much better?
We went to White Manna. I was actually so high that I didn't eat my burger. I was just sort of like doing that thing where like, that's a burger. and not really eating at it.
Dude, that's my burger.
I know. I know. I'm not proud. But so it was kind of a strange night, but it was fun. It was great. And great segue. That was really
good. I just wanted to bring it all back around before we finish. It was great to see you.
Jeremy's
give us some of those world famous plugs of yours, Steve. Do you have like a Twitter or like
tell us all about your plugs.
Oh yeah,
give us your goods.
Oh yeah, sure. So yeah, you can I'm
I'm going to be at Flappers next week. I'm going to be at Chuckles
next week. Yeah. Yeah. You can find me on social media. You can't find me on social media. I'm on the Twitter at Steve Kandel. Am I really answering? Am I doing this for real?
You can if you want.
Yeah, we've been taping the whole time, so you might as well.
And I edit feature stories at a little mom pop website called BuzzFeed.com.
Phone.
On my phone. Very often. That's how you can tell it's good.
Is that it?
And
I think he does commentary or criticism or some sort of editorial.
Got to go back to the archives, the Spin archives, a Weezer article.
Nothing's online.
No, nothing's
nothing
online.
Nothing from Spin is online.
He's eradicated.
Now, one of my favorite articles ever in Spin magazine.
Oh, that's
in print,
kind.
In print.
I don't believe that's on the internet.
It's unfortunate.
Great. It's very short-sighted by Jan Wenner or whoever doesn't edit Rolling Stone, but Spin. Weird.
A lot of places are like that.
Well, that's what BuzzFeed's for.
Mm-hmm. Stealing content?
Listen.
Get it in right at the end.
Is this
all the time we have on a Daily Show. This is all the time we have on a Daily Show.
Mike always alienates a brand.
Oh, yeah, what's a brand we hate? I would say fuck Pepsi for making Kieran Culkin's character Fuller have to go to the bathroom so bad in Home Alone and advancing the plot. Fuck Pepsi for being across the street from SUNY Purchase and ruining the Westchester County milieu that I've dwelled in for a little while.
When did you dwell there?
I went to SUNY Purchase between 97 and 2001, which was a good time to go there. Before everything went down.
Film school. Do you go to the film school?
I went to the film conservatory.
Never graduated.
Now they don't have a conservatory.
Do you remember the old apartment that you have been at? My upstairs neighbor was Nick Gomez.
Get the fuck out of here.
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Nick Gomez lived literally
for
right
for the listener,
right
Nick Gomez is someone that they both knew.
No, he went to SUNY Purchase. He's a filmmaker. No. New Jersey Drive?
No.
That was his pop off, and then there was.
Sometimes I feel like you don't even know who Hal Hartley even is. Yeah.
Oh, not
crazy.
True. I know Hal Hartley.
Because.
Yeah, come on. The Cosmic Connection. He used Damien.
Mike Spiller.
Damien.
Damien lives in this neighborhood. I see him
all
the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that dude. And wait, was Martin Donovan on the show?
Yes, he was.
He was another. He was
now
a
you're
crossing
feeling
guard.
It. Now you're feeling it. Now you're
nostalgia,
feeling it.
He's a crossing guard.
Yeah.
Okay, you
see, I remember.
You can feel a little tickle at the back of your neck. That's nostalgia. Fuck nostalgia.
But that's why I'm not. That's what makes this Selma Blair thing a little more puzzling because I'm not getting that.
Dude, consult the archives. That's all I'm saying because it happened as plain.
I'm not saying it didn't
as plain
happen.
As the glasses on your face.
My concern isn't you telling an untruth. It's me. Not being able to recall this in a way that, you know,
The fault
that
is...
You might want to have recalled it.
The fault is in our synapses.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget making out in the backseat of your car.
Not with me, though.
Yeah, you're going to freak
out. Oh, Steve remembers
not
that.
Not by you.
Steve remembers specifically that he wasn't the one who made out with
you. No.
That you remember what you want to remember.
I guess to each his own.
Well, the helicopter's coming for you, so it's time to see.
Yeah, time to wrap this up.
That BuzzFeed copter's heading on in.
Uh-oh, somebody said content too many times. They're here to acquire.
Hashtag content.
Thanks, Steve Kendall.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's so lovely to see you.
You as well.
So there you have it. As we close the door on another adventure, we remember the lessons we've learned. Chads and Mandels go hand in hand. Steve Kendall feels most safe on a subway surrounded by strangers working on his work. And the Pizza King crown lies heavy on the forehead of the winner. Only in Philadelphia. But most of all, remember that your fake TV brothers are here for you and will always have your back, adventure after adventure, year after year.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by Jeremy Balin and Marianne Ways. This podcast is part of the Feral Audio Podcasting Collective and can be found on their website at feralaudio.com. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also, look us up on Twitter, at Danny and Mike with Yan spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/theadventuresofdannyandmike. Thanks for listening.
Feral Audio.